Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Today on CityCast Chicago, let's be honest, Super Bowl Sunday is only partly about football. For a lot of folks, it's an Usher concert. And for even more, it's all about the commercials. That makes it a good time to revisit some classic Chicago ads and some even bigger national campaigns that were born here. Axios reporter Justin Kaufman is here with me to reminisce. It's Thursday, February 8th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is what Chicago's talking about. Justin, welcome back to CityCast.
Jacoby, always a pleasure to talk commercials with you.
Now, always, my friend. Before we even jump into some of the specifics of Chicago's biggest commercials, what is that one that just lives in your head rent-free? Whether it's a jingle, a phone number, what's the commercial that you think of first when you think of the classics?
Mr. Submarine. It's the best. Okay, so there's a great Mr. Submarine.
Chicago's original submarine, Mr. Submarine.
There's a great Mr. Submarine with Scottie Pippen, and I think the Lovables, there's like two Lovables on the other side, and he dunks a sandwich, he dunks a sub. But there's some sexual innuento in there that's like really weird for like 1991 or whatever they
really
did that commercial.
Is.
That's my favorite. That's by far my favorite. Every time I see it, I'm like, I don't know how this isn't on everybody's TikTok right now.
Okay, so what do you think makes a good commercial? Because the one that has, like, that lives in your head, it both is, even as you discuss it, it's kind of weird, it's kind of cool, it's memorable, but not in the way that you immediately go, man, I just want to show everybody this. It was so good, brought me so much joy. You're just like, that's one of the most random, wildest commercials I saw in the 90s. So what makes a good commercial?
In Chicago, there has to be some point to repetition. Especially when you're talking about old school Chicago commercials, they ran those things all day. So I feel like everyone who didn't have a job when they were like 19 watching like the Munster reruns or whatever it was, saw the Victory Auto Wreckers over and over and over and over.
That old car might be worth money. Call Victory Auto Wreckers at 860-2000 for a quote.
Victory, so I think that does play a role, but I will say that I do think there needs to be the obscure ones, the weirdness, like you just mentioned, like the a little bit off, or they're trying to do something funny. I mean, comedy plays a big role, but something where it's just a little bit like grabs your attention as you're watching it is a hallmark of a Chicago commercial. There's not too many that are just straight ahead that you're like, oh, I'll never forget that commercial forever. It's Eddie and Jobo on the top of a double-decker bus.
It's a 6 foot eagle dude taking an egg crap on the top of your car, and then I never, like, even the way they react to it when the egg cracks is like, Lorraine. I'm like, why are they talking like that? Bro is clearly wearing a mascot costume.
Jacoby, this is the town that at least the area that brought you Svengoolie and Berwyn and everything about it. I mean, there is a kitsch factor in what especially was happening in the 70s and 80s in Chicago and local television that just stays with us. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something in the water, but the kitsch factor plays big for old Chicago commercials.
Anybody who has been listening to CityCast for a while, they might remember our classic Chicago jingles commercial. And I have to reach for Adriana first when I think about the one that has just got me on a lock, because that jingle has been stuck in my head since I was 3 years old.
Feel the warmth and luxury that you deserve. Adriana first.
Such a great, that is one of the best. I mean, because not only that, you have to have, you know, obviously we're on a podcast and you can't see, but having a woman in a fur coat kind of, you know, like effortlessly turn.
Sashay.
Like,
I mean, these commercials that we're nostalgic for, do you think they're actually examples of good advertising, or did we just like hear them all the time? You think about Victory Auto Records. I think they just retired that commercial.
Yeah, they did.
But it was like, it felt sort of low cost. The dude reaches to open his door, just like falls on his foot. And I was like, I see it all the time, but I don't know. Is that a good example of a commercial?
Yeah, I don't know if more people scrap their cars to Victory Auto Records because of commercial, but you're absolutely right. I mean, they follow a format, and a format is usually a jingle. You're talking about a 60s, 70s, 80s commercial. It's changed nowadays than before, but there was a format of the jingle. There was a format of get that phone number or whatever you're trying to hawk in front of people so fast. And that's all in every one of these old Chicago commercials. They do follow a format. They might be strange. Mm-hmm. Eagle Man, as you mentioned, or Andreana Furs or what they're telling you what it is. They're telling you why it's important. Most of the time they'll give you a little cutout of why it's on sale, and they give you a jingle. Great one to think about is Empire Carpet, okay. Which is now a nationwide commercial, but at the time when it was a Chicago only company, that was all about a guy telling you about carpet, and then they hung everything on that jingle. Everything. Mm-hmm. 588-2300, everything was hung on that jingle.
Nobody else can possibly do it.
588-2300-Empire.
Empire Carpets was actually the winner of the Axios Chicago Best Chicago Commercial of All Time bracket.
And I don't agree with that. Like, I would not consider that to be the kitschiest Chicago commercial of all time. I get why people did. Mm-hmm. And a lot
Who did you think should win?
I thought, well, I was a big fan. Andreana Furs is a great one. Mm-hmm. I thought of Eagle Man and Victory Auto Records, and I, you know, I'm like I said, I'm partial to the Mr. Submarine Scottie Pippen like commercial, and I also the 16 that were there at the beginning probably had a chance to win, but Empire Carpet wins because of what I consider to be the routine effect. Mm-hmm. So at that time, people forget about this, that Chicago, you know, Channel 9 would air the Cubs, and they would air the White Sox, but mostly the Cubs, over in the day games, right? So many people were watching daytime television that may not have been watching before, mm-hmm. and Empire Carpet sold that spot. I mean, how many times do you see Empire Carpet during Cubs games?
Facts.
And so that was that's specific to a Chicago feeling and a Chicago time when people are watching day games on Channel 9.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I mean, Chicago's advertising prowess isn't just limited to these local gyms. We also are the home of some hugely recognizable campaigns. Marlboro Man, Tony the Tiger, McDonald's, a slew of McDonald's commercials came out of Chicago. Are any of those that you think folks would be surprised by?
Yeah, for sure. I didn't realize this, but a reason, you know, New York City will always be the advertising capital of the world, Madison Avenue, that kind of thing. But Chicago was neck and neck in the early part of the 20th century. And it was because of the mail order catalogs, because of Sears and Montgomery Ward's, to an extent, Marshall Field's, that they were considered a place for advertising because of how popular those were. Mm-hmm. That was how you ordered stuff. Right? There was, before the internet, you would go to the Sears catalog or whatever. So they already had a footing in the industry because of that. And places like Leo Burnett is the main company that you just mentioned, you know, did all those ad campaigns. They did Pillsbury Doughboy, mm-hmm. which is a great one. That's them. They did the Jolly Green Giant. All that stuff was out of Chicago at that time. And it's impressive when you look at the lineup, because you're like, mm-hmm. those were not just great commercials, but there were significant commercials in the zeitgeist. Like you know, when we think about what was a great commercial in the 80s, a lot of them were coming out of Chicago.
Why do you think Chicago became the home of such memorable advertising campaigns, big and small, even after the sort of catalog heyday kind of tampered down?
You don't see too much made of this, but, you know, Chicago has been a major landing spot for young, creative, comedic talent. And in that, I'm talking about improv, right? Second City or the other theaters that are in town. They would, all these people come here, they would learn, they'd go on the stages, and they'd go to Hollywood or New York. And for a long time, and I know this, personally, places like Leo Burnett or DDB or any of the other ad agencies that were downtown hire improvisers to be ad people. And then that was a, that was almost like a career choice. So if you're doing improv classes at Second City, you're like, well, maybe I can get on with Leo Burnett. And they, you know, like I'll do some improv in a conference room and they'll use it as a, you know, as the next ad. So I do think there's something in the water here when you're talking about like all the comedic talent that comes here from around the country to study at Second City, to try and make it to the stage, to then get on Saturday Night Live. Another option is to go into advertising because, you know, it's the same concepts of you're creating things that are memorable, a lot using a lot of charming skills like comedy and improv. And so many improvisers I know personally have you know, sort of fulfilled careers in advertising because of that.
I also think about Chicago being a sort of pioneer in terms of diversifying who you saw on your screen. So a place like Burrell Communications, right? When McDonald's started using more and more black folks in their advertising, Burrell was one of those companies they went to make culturally relevant advertising. They didn't always hit, right? Calvin's right. Got a Job, you know, probably wasn't my favorite, but you saw over time a more kind of culturally salient campaigns, especially with Burrell kind of leading that charge.
And I would say to that too, is that another thing, you look at like the 50s and 60s when when advertising began, like they really consider Chicago to be a place that you could speak for the commoner. Or speak directly to the commoner. If you're in New York City, they kind of make that joke that they're up in Madison Avenue and they're not, you know, you watch any Mad Men. That's kind of like they can't connect to the real person in America. And Chicago was closer. Like it's a much different experience of having an industry in the Midwest.
I mean, what do we lose in this new day of advertising? Like, will Gen Z be looking at the ads of today, 20 years from now? Are we building nostalgia, particularly on a local level?
Yeah, absolutely lose, because it costs a lot of money, you know, probably even more than it ever did before. So much is moving to YouTube and to social media. And, you know, I remember interviewing the Leo Burnett head a couple of years ago, and he's like, get ready for 5-second commercials. I'm like, there's no way. And now you blink your eye and it's 5-second commercials. You know, you watch Hulu. It's a 15-second, 10-second commercial. I mean, they're finding different ways to adjust the format of that 30-second commercial. I thought it was interesting after one of the, maybe it was the Golden Globes, Coca-Cola did like a 1-minute, it was kind of like the Bear parody, where they were like, it was like the screamy kind of, you know, like, but it was like so long. I mean, it was artistic. You're like, oh, but remember, 1-minute commercials weren't that out of the ordinary. But now I'm like, oh my God, I'm sweating. This is so long. And it's because they have now conditioned us that it's a 5-second commercial. So can you get Mr. Submarine into 5 minutes? Can you get Andreana Furs into 5 seconds? That's the question. And I'm not sure that people are, if that's the right space for them, or if they will go the way of the AM transistor in the sense that those old commercials are just going to go away.
Man, I mean, we talking about Super Bowl. I just looked it up. 30 seconds, $7 million.
And I wonder what I'm intrigued to see what happens when they start having Super Bowl events that are digital, meaning like something where, you know, what does YouTube charge for a 6-second spot before, you know, the stream, things like that. I think that's the future where you're like, how are people, you know, they're finding different ways to send their message in such compact formats. I think that's the future. It's going to be down to 1 second. It's going to be subliminal. It's just going to be Adriana.
Adriana first. But maybe advertisers across industries will sort of link up, and it's sort of like you're going to be wearing an Adriana first, heading to Web Boys to get a Chevrolet, and then on the way out the door, maybe you picking up something, or you, right? Oh my God! Right, and you get in the car. You know what? I need to call Empire, check in on my new car, right? And so maybe it'll be like a 3-for-1, 1 30-second commercial, 3 advertisers in one.
Don't give it away, Jacoby. Don't give it away. This is our new business. We read the new advertising. Don't give in this stuff away for free. Let's do it.
Justin, we know you love a little sound quiz, so we got one for you. And so we want to see, can you name what these commercials are selling? And we had to go a little bit obscure, because even just in this conversation, you was dropping nuggets. I mean, some of these, you might have already mentioned them. And so we wanted to see how well you know Chicago commercials. Let's start off with the first one.
La Reina de los Toros, valor y habilidad, crean el destino.
También en la Reina de la Ley. Si usted tiene un asunto legal sobre un accidente en el trabajo o en el carro, usted necesita abogados bilingües, los toreros de la ley. Rápido.
We tried to stump you, so we put it in Spanish.
That's a tough one. That's a car commercial, but who is it?
Oh, you can't guess it off top?
Uh-uh.
That is, in fact, a commercial for a very famous lawyer in Chicago.
Oh. My name is Peter Francis Geraci. You can listen to my free 24-hour bankruptcy and...
Peter Francis Geraci.
In Spanish. Oh, yeah, okay.
And it's
that.
Him reading it straight up, sort of giving his American Spanish.
I love it. That's a good one, man. That's good. I have not heard that one. That's good. You stumped me right out the gate.
All right, here is number two. What is this former athlete, this former Chicago athlete selling in this commercial?
This is 1 6-footer. I can't handle one-on-one. Ladies, let's have a party.
This is what I'm talking about. It's ridiculous. This is 1 6-footer I can't handle. I'm like, yeah, it's a basketball reference, but like the looks, you're like, what? What?
What are you
talking about? Who talks like that, Scotty? That's a Mr. Submarine commercial. That's what I mean. And then it ends with him like dunking the sandwich, which is so weird, like in like it's slow-mos. And he like dunks it, and you're like, I don't get any of this. Like they're just like, we got Scottie Pippen, so we got an hour to shoot this thing, so let's shoot it. During the mid-90s, when Jordan was getting like Be Like Mike and mm-hmm. Gatorade, Scottie was getting all the secondary stuff. So he was getting like Scottie Pippen Dodge, like up on Western, and then he had this commercial.
I love that this can become a series. It started off with jingles. Overall class commercials, and then part three is going to be very niche. It's just going to be Scottie Pippen deep cuts. Just Scottie Pippen commercials. All right. For a slightly different take, what is the formal name of this famous character that came out of Chicago's Leo Burnett in 1965?
Try butter-flavored crescents.
Fresh and hot. And Pillsbury says it best.
So that's the Pillsbury Doughboy, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's his formal
name? I didn't know this until I heard this.
Mr. Pillsbury or something like that.
Apparently, his name is Poppin' Fresh.
And who are you?
I'm Poppin' Fresh, the Pillsbury Doughboy. May I have this dance?
I ain't no bro had a name. I'm not even gonna hold you. Apparently, it was a whole series with his name, and it was inspired by the sound it makes when you open the canister. And tap it onto the
of
counter.
Course. Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. I just sort of I like to pop it in my hand. I like to unravel it and just.
I'm with you. I'm an unravel guy.
Yeah.
I like unravel to see it kind of like squeeze out. Mm-hmm.
And then I like to sort of continue to turn it my damn self. Justin, I appreciate you sitting down to talk about some classic Always. Chicago commercials and take the City Cast ad quiz.
You're the best. You guys are the best. It's so much fun. I could do this all day.
Before I let you go, stay tapped into all CityCast Chicago has to offer by bookmarking our website, chicago.citycast.fm. Subscribe to our daily newsletter, Hey Chicago, and save our number in your phone, 773-780-0246. Right? Just when we was about to rant about bad Chicago sports teams, the Bulls gone and beat the number one seed Minnesota Timberwolves. Hey, won't he do it? Of course, I got some good news for you. You can see the Axios Chicago team tonight at the Hideout for their regular office hours. The show will feature special guest interviews and the first ever dumpling battle between Monica Ang and the author of A Very Chinese Cookbook, Kevin Pang. There'll also be some Chicago trivia and prizes, and we all know how much y'all love some trivia. We're going to be back bright and early tomorrow breaking down some key stories from the week with our friends Brandon Pope and Shakia Taylor. We'll talk to you then. Peace. I'm not going to lie, the more and more I hear older and current Scottie Pippen stories, the more I start feeling bad, G. Like, I understand why he keep flip-flopping on his love for Mike G. And I get that while right now it sits in the absolute gutter.
I just feel like
toilet.
he had a really bad agent.
Contractually, he got robbed.
Yeah, you're right.
He got robbed.
But even this, like, they're like giving Jordan like Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Gatorade, and they're like,
Scotty, you won't dodge and miss the sun.